For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Sam McEwen along with Tom Schutel for this week's podcast. Evan Bland is out on vacation. I am back. It is the end of February. We are going into March. And we got like basketball to talk about in March. Not just whether a coach will keep his job, but whether Nebraska basketball is going to go to the NCAA tournament. Tom, this is exciting. Like this feels like the best March in some time for Husker hoops and just hoops in the state in general.
It's very exciting, Sam. It's this is what you want as a college basketball fan. You know, your team is either on the bubble and you got things to, you know, you're every day you're looking at the bracketology sites and you're looking at the net rating and you're just obsessing over it. That's the best part of being a college basketball fan this time of year, especially if you think your team is in and you're just worried about seed and matchups. And I don't know that this season snuck up on us, but it's certainly, I thought this team was good enough to do this, but wow, here we are. And they are doing it. And you know, Wisconsin keeps losing. They, you know, Nebraska's in shape to do a top four finish. Which would mean the double bye, which means you go to Minneapolis and you don't cover a game for a while, I guess. I don't know. You don't play a game for a while. So, yeah, it's incredible. And I was trying to figure out, you know, they're at 20 wins now. They could conceivably get to 23 or 4 pretty easily. That would be the best record. That would be the second best record of all time in Nebraska. The 90, 91, Tony Farmer, Rich King team won 26. Wow. Right. In the Big Eight, 26. But 24, I mean, and is this the second best team ever in Nebraska?
Let me pose that question to you.
If they win a game in the tournament, they might be the best team. They might go down as the best team if they can win a game in the tournament because of the number of wins and the accomplishment. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. That's what we do.
That's good. But
that's, I mean, this is what we're watching right now.
So you've been around the orbit of Big Eight basketball probably your whole life. And so you've been familiar with maybe the last Joe Cipriano teams, the one Andre Smith was a part of in 80, the slow-mo Iba teams, then Danny Nee. So you tell me, like you have the institutional knowledge here. When you think about all of the teams that you've seen in Nebraska basketball history, or at least the last, you know, 45, 50 years, we're not going to go all the way back to Bus Whitehead and we'll just leave that in the past. But, you know, where does this team rank right now in this moment?
Well, it's you're right. It's in progress, but I think that 96 team was probably the most talented team. I didn't get to watch the 91 team that much. I think people still all think 91 is at the very top. But 96 had everybody, Eric Strickland to Teron Liu were on that team together. And they won the NIT. But you know, this team, I don't think is the pure talent that team did. I'm not sure how many NBA guys will be in on this team, but it's a hell of a team. It's got so many different answers. It's got a superstar that teams have to kind of game plan around. It's got a lot of really good college basketball players. Who are playing really well right now together. and they're playing good offense. Then, you know, the defense has been exceptional at times. When the defense and rebounding are there, they're hard to beat because they have this offense. They don't necessarily have a lot of great offensive skill guys, but they're good enough, and they've got a coach who puts them in the right places. I mean, he can out-coach people in that offense. It's fun to watch. And just it's got a team with a lot of chemistry, and right now it's a lot of belief. You know, I don't know where they'll get seated or where they'll get sent or who they'll play against, but they'll be a handful. But they've one game on the road that they won last week, and Indiana looked terrible. Then Indiana comes back and beats Wisconsin last night at home. Right. So, we'll see you again tomorrow night at Ohio State. Ohio State's playing well. But I like this team a lot, and the fans love this team. And everything's sold out right now. It's a great story. You know, this, you know, Nebraska basketball, we've all said it. They ever won it on a consistent basis, they ever did this all the time, it would be a huge, huge sport in this state. And that's what you have to do to grow basketball. It's, you've got to do this. You've got to win at the right time. You've got to go to the tournament. You've got to give people a taste, and it'll explode. And this is just 1 year, but this is what it's all about.
Let's go over the Wilson Moore and John Walker have their half court press podcast, and I want people to listen to that. So I hope they do, and they'll talk more about everything that's maybe going on with the team, but more specifically. But here are the bracket projections as we talk right now. Wilson put this out this morning. In ESPN, they're a number 9 seed in the South region. According to CBS Sports, they're a number 10. Playing BYU in Salt Lake City. College Sports Madness, number 9, playing Oklahoma. NCAA.com, number 9, playing Oklahoma. That would be kind of fun if they were to do that. Number 10 seed. So it's somewhere in that 8, 9, 10 range. The general school of thought is that if Nebraska falls out of that 10, they got to play all the way up to a 7 to then go to Omaha, because it seems pretty clear right now that Kansas and Iowa State, both very close, are going to have successful enough seasons to be sort of your anchor teams in Omaha. So we're going to get Hilton. It's going to be Lawrence North and Hilton West. And but Nebraska, in theory, could fit into that 7 or 6 line if they can play and win a bunch of games. And then they would be in Omaha, and then it would be Lincoln East, you know, and it would just be this collision of 3 teams. And all of their fans, and Iowa State and Kansas fans will spend money to go to that arena. So it would be kind of fun to see, you know, how many people get in. But if Nebraska is kind of in that 8-9 line, they're probably not going to Omaha because the number 1 seeds appear to be going other places. Memphis, if it's Houston, Salt Lake City would be where Arizona goes if that's where Arizona ends up. And so it'll be interesting to watch. But to, you know, you made the point about the way they play and the fact that they're selling the house out. I was there on Sunday. I got tickets from a friend. We were in the 300 section, high up, and half court, but high up. And I'll tell you what, every single seat was taken. And that's rare. Like, I've kind of sat up in the 300s before. I was there with my son, but every single seat on our section was taken up. And it was a pretty festive crowd. Like, the anger was up and the excitement was up. And it's just cool to experience that, you know, as a spectator instead of with the media in that moment.
Right. Yeah. I, you know, keeping an eye on his potential seeds is really tough. I mean, last night, Kansas lost at home to BYU, and that's, there could be trending, you know, they got to go to Houston still. They could be trending to a 3. But Iowa State, I think Iowa State's going to win the Big 12 tournament. And they could be moving up to a 2. So I don't know what we'll get here or how that'll work. But if If we get Nebraska, Iowa State here, that's Hoiberg, Iowa State. Can you imagine that atmosphere?
Yeah.
Crazy. So we'll see where they end up. But yeah, that's a great way to look at that is, you know, if you think they're a 7 or 10, they'll be with a 2. Or if they're, you know, 8 or 9, they'll be with a 1. They probably won't get to a 6. I don't know if I don't think there's any way they'll get that high. But, I mean, we'll just, it's going to be fun to see.
They in theory could, you know, the only way they play their way into a 6 is if they win out,
yeah,
and then they go and they win the Big Ten tournament.
Well, right.
They did this
right.
once before. I mean, in 94, they played to a 6. Now, those were bad memories for people because they played to a 6 and then they drew an 11 seed that had 2 NBA guards and they lost to Pennsylvania. But, you know, I think they could in theory play to it if they can go 23-8.
Yeah,
because that's what they'd be, right? And then they'd win the Big Ten tournament. If they did that, they're 26-8. That's probably a 6.
You know, looking back at that time, Sam, I think there would be more urgency if they make the tournament to win that game now, and maybe more pressure too.
Yeah,
but you know, back in the 90s, everything was still fresh. They hadn't made that many tournaments. So, and frankly, in 93, 94, when they're losing these games, you thought, well, they're going to keep going to tournaments. That's not, they'll win one of these eventually. This isn't that big a deal. Yeah, it hurt to lose the Penn in 94, but it's not like you felt like, you know, the whole nation was watching and, you know, laughing at Nebraska for being the only school that ever won a game. That wasn't the case then. So it wasn't really a factor back in the early '90s that you were, you know, this was a program that can't win a game. No, it was a program that was going every year, and you figured it was going to happen eventually. So, but now I think that's a greater emphasis on this. I think it'll, you know, maybe that focus is what you need. Again, it's pressure too, but I think it's. It's a good focus. It's a good pressure to have. It means you don't come out of the gate sleepwalking. You know, you should be ready to go. So, anyway, yeah. But I think this team is well equipped to win the tournament. But you got to make shots. It's a shot making tournament, man. You got to make shots, and if they don't make shots, they get one of those deals where nobody can hit. But they have a way to make shots, to get good shots inside. And that if all you are is behind the 3-point line, it's, you know, the NCAA tournament's a gamble. It's a toss up. But if you can go in there and get fouls and get guys inside, you know, with the right matchup, I think you're in a lot better shape.
Nebraska has 5 or 6 guys that can make shots too. They don't all make them on the same night.
Right.
Unless they're playing Purdue, but they have 5 or 6 guys who can make them. And on Sunday, kind of out of nowhere, it's Jawan Gary. You know, he's not much of a 3-point shooter, but he made a bunch of them. Casey didn't have a great game. CJ Wilcher maybe had his worst game of Big Ten play, but there's Jawan Gary. You know, and as I think about the guys that are the heart and soul of his team, it's hard for me to ever pivot away from him and Josiah Alec. Alec, obviously not an offensive gem, but man, those two guys play harder than everybody else on the floor.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, the K-State factor is interesting to me because he, you know, he's had a hard time getting the ball at times. They're really all, you know, Minnesota's losing by double digits and they're still sending two guys after him.
Yeah.
You know, that means other guys are open, obviously. But now you get this Jamarcus Lawrence factor off the bench. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here that I think are going to serve them well.
Yeah, Casey sometimes gets the Caitlin Clark treatment. It's pretty interesting. So I went back and looked at the box score that lost to Penn. Penn hit 11 of 27 threes, 11 of 27. Nebraska hit 320. Where's the game? Were you at that game? I don't even where was
Oh
it at?
yeah, oh yeah. We that w it was on Long Island. I think we I can't remember if that was one of those years. Lee and I bought tickets on the team plane. Oh, there was like a charter, and then they had a few seats open, so they sold us seats. I don't think it was. It might have been Syracuse. I think it was Long Island, but yeah. They celebrated that week. They were, after winning the Big Eight tournament, those
Oh, but
players, the players would all admit that they celebrated all week, and their legs were kind of shot. That's the problem with those conference title games, is, you can, your legs just go out after you play every day and that time of year, and they didn't stay off their feet all week. They were having fun, and they, after winning that Big Eight thing, that was a big deal, beating Norm Stewart in Kansas City, Eddie Sutton, and that was a big deal. And so now we're playing Penn and way out in the middle of, Long Island. Okay. And again, winning the tournament back then, you wanted to do it, but yeah, you felt like there would be another chance. You didn't feel like. It feels like they have Nebraska. Oh, they never make the tournament. Every time they get a chance, you better win.
Right.
It wasn't like that back then. So I don't think the urgency was there for that. I think there'll be urgency this time around.
Nassau Coliseum is still standing, by the way. It is still
Well, I mean, 7 years later, I saw Creighton there against Iowa in the same building. So Rich Kuypers and I did that duty. They lost to Steve Alford's Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Iowa boys, Ryan Sears and Korver.
Didn't play well.
I remember Korver missed a million three-pointers.
I remember that.
He's in the locker room crying into a towel, and Sears is trying to console him. Sears was on his way out, Korver was on his way up, and he said there'll be other chances, all this stuff, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the old Nassau, not too good to Nebraska teams, I guess.
Let's talk about the college football playoff a little bit. So there's a bunch of things to bouncing around about the contract. So first of all, they've got 2 more years on the current contract. They're going to expand it to 12, and they're thinking about a TV deal that goes beyond that. But for now, ESPN controls the whole thing. So they're talking about first they're going to expand it to 12, and it's going to be 5 conference champions and 7, what do you call it, at-large bids. But about 2 weeks ago, and even Evan kind of touched on it, but I wanted to kind of come back to it now that I'm back. It looks like they want to try to expand it to 14. And expanding it to 14, you'd start that with the new TV contract. And if they expanded it to 14 teams, the Big Ten and the SEC basically would get 4 bids. That was kind of the conversation that was being had. Both of these leagues now have 18 teams, so 36 teams are in those leagues. And they would take up 8 of the 36 bids, or I'm sorry, 8 of the 14 bids. So 8 of the 36 teams would make the playoff. That's just under 25%. I'm curious what you think of that particular setup, a 14-team setup with 8 teams from the Big Ten and the SEC, total 4 from each league. You like that idea?
Well, I want to see 12 first. I mean, I don't understand why we can't have 12 first. Is it because
We will have
the
12,
TV
yeah.
money
Yeah.
isn't didn't come back like they thought? Oh, we add 2 more teams, we'll get more TV money in the first rounds. And sometimes I feel like college football is such a TV show that the commissioner of college football should be like a TV guy. And I'd love to know what the Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, who is a TV guy, former TV guy. What do you think about all this? Because it just seems like such a reaction to TV money, where everybody who's been telling them for years, the playoff is going to bring unbelievable, untold millions, untold wealth. Well, maybe it didn't the first time back. And this is obviously going to be about greed, and not only money, but Big Ten and SEC greed. We want more.
Right.
So to get more, they have to add teams. I mean, I'd like to see 12 first and just see what happens. And just see if it's necessary. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to go to 16, okay. I've obviously absolutely shut it off after 16. But because you're going to start inviting teams that really don't belong in the national title picture. When you're 14, 15, 16. Now, you can say that about college basketball, too. And college basketball has been great, but it's a different animal.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Very different, yeah, for sure.
But 16, it's funny, nobody worries about how many games they're playing. Or I remember when presidents used to be worried about the academics. Oh, you're going to miss all these classes. So at least nobody's making that up anymore. It's what a bunch of crap. But anyway. I'd like to see 12. I think 12 is a good number. I just think there's probably no more than 12 teams who should win the national title, and there probably aren't that many. But the problem you're going to get into is how many from each conference.
Right.
See, I don't think the Big 12 or ACC are going to get – I think they're going to get one. I think they're going to get one in there because look at the rankings this year, the brand names – including the Pac-12, who are now in the Big Ten, and Oklahoma and Texas, who are now in the SEC, were all over the top 10 of the rankings. So that's who's going to be in the top 10 next year. Same teams, except they're going to all be going to be the Washington and the Oregon are going to be Big Ten. So the Big 12 is just going to get the champion probably in. And the ACC, after they lose Florida State and whoever else they lose, they're just going to get one. So, I mean, maybe these other commissioners are trying to push expansion to get more of their teams in. But I don't know. It's it's very interesting because Alabama now is a new coach, and I feel like the tide is going to turn there a little bit for college football. A new era where you're going to have more teams. For a while, we were stuck on Alabama Clemson every freaking year. And so I feel like we're going to have a wide open tournament in a lot of ways. I think Texas is going to hold their own in the SEC. I think the Big Ten is going to change a little bit. It won't be just Ohio State and Michigan. There's going to be four teams. I think minimum from each Big Ten and SEC, there might be five. So be it. I'm all for it. I just think it's a little, well, it's very predictable that they would talk about 14 if they haven't even had 12 yet. But I think this will be 16 eventually. And at some point, TV will say, expansion is not worth it anymore. Let's hold off. Let's stay here. But, you know, the TV numbers will tell everybody where it's going and I guess how fast.
I think we'll get 12 and 24 and 25. It is interesting, though, that I do think it's worth watching how many bids the Big Ten and the SEC get in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Because what if they get 4 and 4 in the next 2 years, and which is possible, in my opinion. And if that happens, I think the two leagues would be satisfied with that response. They would look around and go, yeah, that works for us. I don't know if it'll work for the Big 12 and the ACC. I know you probably saw this news of Lance Leipold's getting a new contract and Kansas football is putting $450 million, not a lot of that stadium money, into its program. So Kansas football intends to make a playoff or two. You don't invest that kind of money unless you're willing to do that. And Nebraska's investing a lot of money. So obviously there's going to be a lot of competition for those bids. I saw something on Twitter that was really interesting, and I retweeted it a couple days ago. Somebody had gone back and looked at the previous rankings and tried to determine how many times a team would make the playoff. And two things jumped out at me. The first thing that jumped out at me is that Penn State would have made four of them. And that would, I think, change our opinion of James Franklin.
Sure.
That was one. The second one, though, is that I believe it indicated that two Temple teams would have made the playoff. I'm not sure I agreed with that math, but that's what it said. And one of the Baylor teams would have made it. So several of Matt Rule's teams would have already made it if we had a 12-team system back then. And here's my question. Do you think that people understand fully even what Matt Rule did at Temple and Baylor? And like if there had been a playoff berth attached to it, do you think people would better understand the kind of coach that Nebraska has right now?
Well, I don't understand Temple. I didn't really follow it, but I know certainly he did a great job there. I mean, he won 10 games at Temple, right? I
10
mean,
games twice.
yeah. So I mean that okay, we don't need to know too much about the Owls to know that that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But I know Baylor in the Big 12. I know what he did there because I know I've got context. I know the other teams. I know who he's going against, and the Texas and OU machines. Everybody else is really good. Yeah, I know what I know what he's all about. That's why I'm excited to see a guy surrounded by all the toys in Nebraska, all the access to players, the riches, the facilities, the passion, the fans, things you don't have at Baylor, things you don't have at Temple. So, so yeah, I think it's great. And another thing about these guys in the Big 12 and ACC, Sam, is so speaking of Rule, something he told me a couple weeks ago about scheduling, where don't necessarily know that it'll be up to him. There's financial concerns of Lincoln and home games to be had and contracts to be done and the contracts that they have currently with Tennessee and Oklahoma down the road. But I've got a feeling he'll have if he's here that long, he'll have a lot to say about it. But they don't want to play the Big Ten and SEC schools are not going to want to play a lot of tough non-conference games. They're probably not going
Right.
to want to play any of them. They've got enough on their plate without having to, okay, Nebraska's going to play Tennessee. Now, maybe if there's a Big Ten SEC challenge that Fox or ESPN wants to put together and throw extra millions of people, okay, maybe they'll do it. But when you've got the schedule lined up that they're going to have in 26, you don't need to see Josh Heupel and his flying circus. He might be a top five team by then. They're trending up that way right now. I mean, they're going to be great. You don't need that. So what I'm saying is, if you're not going to play, and again, Rule said I want to play local teams. And he ain't talking about K-State or Kansas. He's talking about Northern Iowa. He's talking about South Dakota. He's talking about those kind of local teams. People are going to downsize their schedules. They just are because of they're going to find out what it takes to get in the playoff, and then they're going to find out here's what I need. Here's the record I need. Here's the strength of schedule is all set up in your league already. It's like basketball. Look at Nebraska basketball this year. The strength of schedule is already in the Big Ten. You don't need to play anybody in the non-conference. They downsized it, and now here they are. That's going to happen in football, and that's going to affect the Big 12 and ACC because nobody's going to play their teams. The Big Ten SEC aren't going to play them. And, we'd much love to see Nebraska KU or some one of those old Big Eight games. That would be crazy, because KU can they can beat your ass, and then you're stuck with before you go in to play Oregon and Washington and Ohio State, you've already got a loss. So how's that going to work out for you in the playoff? It probably not going to work out. So I think these things are going to impact. We're talking about Big 12 and ACC teams being in the top 12 poll. They're not going to have any good wins. They're not going to play anybody. There's nobody's going to play them. They're going to play each other. It's going to emphasize the Big Ten SEC that much more, to where we might as well just have a Big Ten SEC playoff. Now, how that would work, I don't know. Is that where we're going? I don't know. A lot of sports writers sit around and speculate on stuff, and that's where we have this world of two conferences ruling the world. It will it happen? I don't know, but I'm just to add on to your point, the Big 12 and ACC and anybody else is going to get a the group of five Mountain West temples out there who want to be in the playoff are going to have to win their conference championship, because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of at-larges because nobody's going to play them.
Right. That's a good point that there's going to be, I think, an exodus out of some of these, home and home games and a move toward some of the FCS opponents. At this point, the Missouri Valley, which is South Dakota State, North Dakota State, I honestly think it's about as equal to the MAC. The MAC is way down. And so the Missouri Valley is roughly the same. I'm not opposed to an Akron over a South Dakota State. I think South Dakota State would beat Akron by a couple of touchdowns. So, yeah, I think that's probably the direction it's moving in. The thing that I took from your conversation with Rule on that was I think he would be open to something if he knew that everybody else, including the Michigan Wolverines, or including everybody, was willing to play one. And Michigan, although they're going to play Texas this year, which is tough, the previous 2 years was able to get to the playoff and they played teams that were nowhere near their strength and they played them all at home and they weren't dinged for it.
Well,
So, why
they
do
worked
it?
the system perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of a preview of what I think we're going to see. You're absolutely right about Rule. He said, "Hey, if everybody's doing it, okay, I'll do it." But he didn't want to do it. He's not
Right.
afraid of playing games. I mean, I had these readers weigh in. Oh, Nebraska needs to play Tennessee. We need these games. People still like those non-conference, that big non-conference game. It's part of their college. It's part of their deal with the college football fan that they have that big game early. Well, you could have a big conference game early if you really need to come out of the gate in September with something big. There's plenty of games to go around in the Big Ten where you can, so you send Nebraska up to Washington in September, and then there's your big game. But
Right.
I understand what Matt was saying. If everybody's doing it, I'll do it. But everybody's not going to be doing it. The Big Ten is not going to agree as a league to play one, good non-conference, or whatever you want to call it, a big go crossover and go play Alabama or Florida or, Texas A&M. They're not going to agree to that. I don't believe
I get it.
ADs and coaches will say, mostly the coaches will say, "Hey, if I don't make the playoff, I'm going to get fired." So if I play this game against Alabama in September, I'm not going to make the playoff and I'm going to get fired. So I don't think that's a very good idea. Sorry.
Yeah, I think, and the other thing too is like the out of conference rivalry games, they just don't mean as much as they used to. Florida State is just a game now. Like it's not what it was 25 years ago, and South Carolina Clemson never was anything. Georgia Tech isn't what it used to be. So, like, when you think about, well, what will Iowa and Iowa State do? I don't think Iowa would hesitate 1 second to get out of that series For one,
That's a
they
great
own the
point.
series.
I agree. I totally agree with that. And they've got a new AD. We'll see how that goes. But you're right. If Iowa starts going after it at the playoff and they start like everybody else in the Big Ten and they see nobody else is doing that, and Iowa State continues to be good, yeah. You know what? We love the state of Iowa. We love our tradition, but sorry.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see you in the playoff if we both get there. We're not
Right.
going to do it. I could definitely see that. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that, but
No, I think you're completely right. So
I don't
many
think
times in
Iowa's
my like
gonna.
rivalries in my childhood that were considered like sacred were gone. Like, I remember big games between certain teams, and the only one that you would say that about now is Army Navy. And they're not in the same conference, and I don't think they are. Maybe they are now. There's been so much realignment, but Army Navy is that one game where you're like, you can't change that. But like every other game that you would imagine, I know Oregon and Oregon State are going to play each other, and maybe they're going to do that for a few years because that they have that. But I don't think it'll
It's
last.
a
And
nice way to ease out of
yeah.
the but no, I the only way that w won't happen, Sam, is if the big, the playoff committee decides to reward you for really tough schedules and not playing, going out of your way in non-conference. I don't think that'll happen.
No.
I think the way the playoff has been since it started, 2014, whatever it was, they have rewarded wins and not necessarily strength.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've
Yep.
rewarded wins. So, we'll
You're
see.
absolutely right. I agree. I think that's exactly what they've done. And maybe this year there'll be a battle at that number 11 team, where people will be like, well, the number 11 here and the number, we'll see. I think it's going to be a mess because, I think it's we can get in this no time. I think it's going to be messy. People think it's going to be easier when it's the number 11 team than it was when it was 4 versus 5, because again, the number 12 seed is always going to be the, Boise State or whomever, Tulane. So your number 11 team is the last team that's going to be in as an at-large bid. And people think it'll be easier, and it won't be. It'll be harder. And here's why. Because you're going to run into a situation where in the last week, like the last 2 weeks of the year, the number 11 seed isn't going to be going to the conference title game, and they're going to be playing two weak teams to end the season, and they're going to win them, and they're going to look around and go, we're in the playoff, right? We're in the playoff, right? And there's going to be some sort of something's going to happen where it's going to be the 13 team's going to come up to 11. It's like
Well,
it's going to be messy.
I agree. Somebody is going to get left out no matter how many teams you have, but it won't be of the level of like Florida State this year. It won't
Right.
be when you're talking about top five or six, it's different than who's 11th and 12th.
Right.
Usually 11th and 12th are just happy to be there. And if you get screwed out of that, okay, you're mad, but the world moves on. They don't care. Just as I don't believe people are going to care. There won't be a controversy if you don't get a second Big 12 team in or a second A. If KU gets left out or North Carolina gets left out, nobody's going to, they're not going to change the playoff over that.
The
We'll
FC,
see.
the Florida State snub was a big deal. That's probably the biggest one of all, and it basically prompted calls for Florida State to leave the league. So,
That is 100% true. They were already on the way out.
Bob.
That just sealed it. That was like, okay, I'm thinking about getting a divorce. Now I'm definitely getting a divorce. I mean, they're out of there. They're done with, that thing is over with. It's just a question now of when and how much.
Yeah. Okay,
Are
that is
they
our
going to the Big Ten or are they going to the SEC?
that's our Pick Six podcast for this week. Hey, lots of stuff going on with Nebraska athletics that isn't the things that we just talked about. The baseball team's going to college in Charleston. The softball team has its home weekend openers. It's hard, by the way. Missouri and Wichita State are both better teams than Nebraska. So Nebraska will be fortunate to go 2-2 in those. And of course, the Nebraska women's basketball team ends its regular season on Sunday at Illinois. I think Nebraska's women's team is already in the NCAA tournament. I think Nebraska probably needs to win one more to feel really, really good about that. And preferably that would be at Ohio State tomorrow night. For Tom, I'm Sam. Thanks for listening to the Pick Six podcast. Be sure to listen to the Half Court Press with Wilson Moore and John Walker. They're talking about two NCAA tournament teams. Thanks, Husker fans.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.